Welcome to Goodwin Law Unplugged, Florida real estate and more. This podcast features candid insight from real estate industry professionals from all sectors. Your host, attorney Matthew Goodwin, a native Floridian and experienced real estate attorney, will provide his personal insight on legal matters and feature other professionals offering their candid advice. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, seasoned investor, or experienced real estate agent, there is something for everyone. Thanks for joining us on Goodwin Law Unplugged.
Well, welcome back, listeners, viewers. Charlie McDermott, producer, co-host of the show, here with Matthew Goodwin. Matt, how you doing?
Good, Charlie. How you doing this morning?
Doing terrific. And I love the corner office. I love the look there.
Busy day in Naples, Florida.
It is. We're still in season, but it's, you know, we're getting back to what us kind of year-round residents love, and that's just some calmness, you know, not a whole
that's
lot
right.
of traffic and all
that's
that.
That's right. We're not in the clear yet. It's becoming more common where the season doesn't have a hard stop like it did a few years ago.
I've been seeing a lot of news reports about, you know, how the game is going to change for real estate agents out there. And being that that's one of your specialties, what can you tell us? Fill us in on what's going on or what's coming down the road here.
All right. So there was a settlement entered on March 15th. And I'll just preface by saying that it has to still be approved by the court, but we're expecting it to be the experts are expecting it to be approved in its current form. The whole report is over 100 pages, and I'm going to give you the key points. So March 15th, NAR, National Association of Realtors, and the plaintiffs representing a class of home sellers in several related lawsuits, they entered into this settlement agreement, which addresses allegations against NAR related to practices that were claimed to illegally inflate real estate commissions. Now, today we'll talk briefly about the key points of the settlement agreement and its impact on Florida real estate brokers and agents. So just a little background of on the allegations. The plaintiffs accused NAR of conspiring to set real estate commissions artificially high, the rates that is, which would be in violation of federal antitrust laws. And the settlement follows a jury verdict in favor of the plaintiffs in one of these cases, indicating the seriousness of the allegations. The settlement was for $418 million, and it was intended to, other than pad the lawyers' pockets who brought the suit, to compensate affected home sellers and, of course, attorneys' fees, other associated costs. But this is a pretty big number, and it highlights the significant impact of NAR's alleged practices on the real estate market. So no commission of guilt, settlement agreement, here's the terms. It has an effect on it'll change the practices. So of real estate professionals, as part of the settlement, the NAR agreed to implement several practice changes, most notably the following: eliminating requirements that listing brokers must offer compensation to buyer brokers. That means that listing brokers no longer have to offer a split of what the seller has agreed to pay them to the buyer's broker who brings a ready, willing, and able buyer to that property. Number two, prohibits the display of broker compensation on MLS listings. This is a big deal,
right?
Because, you know, an agent looking on the MLS, once this is all updated after the settlement, of course, will no longer know what they're willing to make if their buyer has an offer accepted on a property that they're wanting to show them. The third thing that it does, you know, that NAR agreed to in this agreement, is discouraging the representation that brokerage services are free. Now, that just has to do with certain disclosures they're agreeing to provide, because I don't know of any anybody out there that represents their brokerage services as free. But however, I think this is more in tune to the buyers representing agents. And I think you're going to see more, I know you're going to see more buyer broker agreements than ever before. In Florida, you don't see it too often as it is. The fourth thing it does is requires disclosures that broker commissions are negotiable and not set by law. Now, it's not going to be a big disclosure, but I'm going to see, just like with homeowners associations, and if the property's a condominium, you're going to have this new disclosure that brokerage commissions are negotiable and not set by law. And that's just sort of stating what was already in existence, but now it's required to be disclosed in writing. So the agreement provides these changes, or provides that these changes, they aim to foster a more competitive and transparent real estate brokerage market, potentially lowering the cost of selling a home.
Potentially, yeah. So is there a big winner, big loser, or you think it just all kind of...
Well, let's talk about that, because I think there's a combination of winners and not so winners. I don't like to use the word losers, but I guess there's a winner and a loser to everything, depending on how you look at things, right? Yeah. I think there's a win even in a loss. So mm-hmm. What I'm going to talk about is how it impacts the Florida real estate brokers and agents. So one is transparency and competition. So the common practices around commission structures and disclosures, they're modified. So this settlement may lead to increased transparency in the real estate process and foster greater competition among brokers and agents, as if they needed it, right? So I'm sure you got a lot of people out there thinking, gosh, it's already competitive enough. Now I need to worry about one more law to comply with. I think this presents opportunities, which I'll touch on a little bit. The other impact it has is it forces adaptation to new practices. Florida real estate professionals must adapt their business practices to comply with these new requirements, particularly regarding how commissions are discussed, advertised, and negotiated with buyers and sellers. I'll say that again. They have to adapt their practices, brokers and agents, particularly regarding how commissions are discussed, advertised, and negotiated with buyers and sellers. This is where you're going to see your buyer brokerage agreements come into play. This is where you'll see a listing agreement where the seller agrees to pay a certain percentage to their listing agent, and then a buyer comes along and they can negotiate how much they're willing to pay them. Well, a form of this practice already takes place. You're seeing the average percentage come down in certain markets based on the value of the homes in those markets, Naples being one of them, but other high value areas like Palm Beach and New York City. But it's transparency that they want to accentuate here. And there is a potential financial impact, because the elimination of mandatory compensation offers, meaning they must put on the MLS what they're going to be paying, and the emphasis, this meaning they eliminated that mandate, and the emphasis on negotiable commissions, meaning now the buyer's brokers know this law is in existence, and the buyers themselves know it is, and of course the sellers do, that it could lead to a more variable income landscape for brokers and agents, possibly affecting their earning potential. But I believe this presents opportunities for top agents, and it allows them to differentiate and elevate their services in ways that they might not otherwise have been able to before. So agents who communicate well, have a strong value proposition, they're likely to thrive. Mm-hmm. While part-time agents may struggle with the new dynamics. Now, this is not discriminating against part-time agents, nor do I have anything bad to say about part-time agents. But there are many part-time agents that they don't rise to the same level of professionalism as the full-time agents whose livelihood depends on selling a house or helping their client buy one. And that's where I think you're going to see a shakeup. It's going to raise the barrier to entry, which is something I think we need. Just like they raised the barrier to entry to become a lawyer, you know, it's harder to become a lawyer. It's hard to become a certified public accountant, and it's hard to become any other number of professionals. Only serious contenders are going to be the ones who continue with it. Small brokerages are going to be, in my opinion, more likely to be hurt by this, because they don't have the financial backing, let's say, that a publicly traded company might have, with resources and business practices already in place to adapt to things like this. But if you're a top agent and you already have worked long and hard to hone your craft, communicate well, and improve your value propositions, you're going to likely to thrive in this market. But there's a uphill battle in the public's eye, and there's a lot of reports out there, some of them false, that are going to require conversations to be had with buyers and sellers who are operating post settlement agreement. So it's going to be tough for some people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics there. And to your point, I mean, it's the probably in most industries, you know, the ones who provide the best service are the ones who are going to be successful regardless of the conditions or whatever new rules come out. Does it, for the someone looking at buying or selling right now, or under agreement, I mean, is there anything that they should or shouldn't do? Should they wait until this settlement comes through, or you're already locked in?
No, I think everyone continues business as usual, because the State Association of Realtors, in our case, FAR, Florida Association of Realtors, they're going to make sure everybody complies. There's already a series of forms that have been developed proactively and disclosures to comply with this. So I don't know who's leading the pack in this, but Florida is not going to mess around. They already have official opinions out, and they're working behind the scenes tirelessly to figure out how they're going to comply and help the Florida brokerages comply with this. But so there's going to require a lot of educational efforts, and this is where I think it would hurt smaller brokers. Yeah. Who don't have necessarily the same resources, because they're selling homes, right? They don't have a full-time office person that can put all this stuff together for them. So the settlement mandates the development of educational materials to reflect these new practices. So I think you're going to see companies that start that will make money on this. So give you an example. With the title industry, ALTA, American Land Title Association, is an organization that's self-funded to regulate and advocate for title insurance companies and title insurance agents like ourselves through the law firm across the country. And they adapted several best practices to comply with the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau laws, years ago. And ALTA and other companies have started, I don't think ALTA makes money off this, but it's definitely one of their selling points, where they've come up with these templates to just simply change, put your name in, right? And there's companies that will audit you to make sure you're best practice compliant. So I think there's a business opportunity for people or for out there for companies to put together these educational materials for smaller brokerages for a fee, right? Mm-hmm. Brokers and agents are going to need to familiarize themselves with these materials to ensure compliance, and then adjust their business practices and strategies accordingly. Just like we as law firms and title companies have to adapt to changing regulations and make sure that our we and our staffs are educated.
Good point. Wow. Anything else in considerations? Anything else that you left out that we should?
No, just a final point. I mean, this comes down to adaptation and survival, right? Real estate agents have, the ones that have been in the game for more than five, especially 10 years, 15, that have seen downturns and such. I mean, they're going to survive. They have a resilience. Despite the uncertainty and the potential chaos, most experts believe that the real estate industry will adapt and find new ways to conduct business under the settlement's terms. It's just that we don't know what we don't know yet as a whole, because it's like, hey, what should we do and who should we listen to? Listen to your state association. Listen to your local association. Listen to your brokerage if they are a publicly traded company or if they're not, assuming that if they're not, they also listen to those same agencies, because the brokers are the ones that are ultimately responsible. The real estate industry historically has adapted to these kinds of changes, and this situation will likely be no different. So in summary, the settlement represents really a pivotal moment in the U.S. real estate market with significant implications for real estate professionals in Florida and beyond. And brokers and agents will need to thoughtfully navigate these changes to align with the new legal and market realities, potentially benefiting both the industry and consumers by promoting more fairness and transparency in real estate transactions.
Good so stuff.
If you'd like to, for some nighttime reading or morning reading, you want to read the full settlement, you can, of course, reach out to us. It's not too hard to find. Just Google NAR settlement. And we'll put it in our show notes of this episode too, a link to it. But the it's 108 pages and double spaced. So there's enough reports out there to kind of distill the main points. But I think I touched on them all. But this is going to be an evolving conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's really all I can say about it right now until the court approves it and we start to see traction from the local and state boards.
Oh, terrific. Well, thanks for clearing up my questions and sharing your insight on this. And when is that scheduled again, the settlement?
Well, I don't know when the court is expected to rule on it. It's going to be in a very short period of time. Today is the 22nd. And this settlement agreement was just reached on the 15th. So we're only 7 days out from when the agreement itself was made public. I mean, this thing has got press all over the country. So there's going to be a lot of pressure to have these policies set in motion. But the way they're saying it's they're treating it as if it's already a new law. So just if you're an agent, ask your broker what you should do. If you're a broker, ask your local and state board of realtors what you should do to comply. And if you're representative of a state board, ask NAR how you need to comply.
Super, super. All right, Matt. Well, thanks. It sounds like we need to get you back to practicing law there. And we'll catch up in the next episode.
Thanks, Charlie. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Goodwin Law Unplugged. To learn more about Goodwin Law and to utilize our services, visit GoodwinEstateLaw.com or call 239-207-3403. Hablamos Español. To submit questions or be a guest on a future episode, message us on our website or on social media by searching for Goodwin Law PA in Naples, Florida. This has been Goodwin Law Unplugged. Thanks again for joining us.